The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place.
So what do I do?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
This is wonderful advice. This is what I needed to hear.
You're right on track with this. You're right on track.
Can everybody make a mistake?
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are the best thing that has ever happened to people.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I did the math on that, bumper intro. The I didn't help people bits outnumbered that I'm wonderful bits. I think it was like 5-4. I mean, it was close. It was close. It was 43% effective. That's my approval rating, I guess. Hovering right around the 43% mark. And the interesting thing is, those you didn't help me ones, Andrew Kruchek, my producer man, he picked those up in the last three shows. The ones that said I was a wonderful human being, he said he had to go back 7 years scouring shows. Andrew, you could at least made it even. You could have at least tied it. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you here for joining me on this Holy Thursday. The number to get onto the program, 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal. It's call-in program. I'm a psychologist. What type? Clinical. And those are the guys that do the... I slip all the time. Those are the people. Can't say guys. Of course, you know, in the scripture, they use the word man to mean everybody. So why can't we use the word guys to mean everybody? I guess we can't. But the only problem is you can't say gals. You can say guys to refer to guys. But if you say gals to refer to gals, you've committed a linguistic sin. How in heaven's name did these people get this kind of authority? Why is it that the most ridiculous ideas have the most authority? Sorry. I'm getting off on a tangent here. 877 57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. Now, various programs, if you listen to Teresa Tomeo or Al Crestor or Catholic Answers, they'll say this is non-Catholic call-in Thursday. Or they'll say something like, this is open line questions. Well, this I don't have that. This is Double Dog Dare Thursday, which is... I double dog dare you to call me. I would say a triple dog dare, but all guys would then have to call, especially if you say no reverses. All guys. The women, they don't care less. You could quadruple dog dare a woman. What does she care? She'll look at you like, that's ridiculous. She'll have the same look on her face that she has when she walks in, and we are all laughing at the Three Stooges, and she walks out, and she says, that's not even funny. That's not even funny. That's just ridiculous. Why even watching that? Same look, same response to a double dog, triple dog, even a any double dog dare. But it is double dog dare. So I will double dog dare you to call me if you have a question about something in your life, your family, your friends. This particular day, maybe a question about faith, because my opening monologue is going to be about all that. 877-573-7825-877-57 equal. I've sucked up about 5 minutes already. You know, one of the really dumb things people say about faith, one of the irrational things people say about faith, they say, it's just faith. You can't reason it. No evidence. It's you either believe or you don't. That is so dumb. That makes no sense from a religious perspective. Think about this for a moment, especially among Christians. What was our Lord called? Gospel of John. The Logos. The creative rationale. The source of it all. Reason. Creation. So, when they use a word like Logos, which was a pretty big deal Greek word, they're going to say, well, you know, that doesn't matter there. Just got to have faith. Then there's another dumb thing that people say. They'll say things like, I'm sorry, I'm scanning the board here looking at the calls, and I got distracted. Faith, and Andrew, tell me what was the next thing I was going to say. I'll get to it. I'll find it here in my cobwebs of my rapidly aging mind. Yes, you did spell Tourette's wrong there. T-O-U-R. Okay? T-O-U-R-E-T-T-E-S. There you go. Geez, I even got to spell this out for my call screamers. All right. They say things like, oh, I know what it is. And this is one that your college students are going to throw at you because they've heard it from their terribly uninformed profs about this. And this could be thrown at you from your know-it-all high school age students. The religions are the same. They're all the same. They all just have standards for how you're supposed to live. That's all. They just have morals. Now, anybody who says that, you have to look at them. You don't have to maybe insult them, but you got to look at them with a look that says you have absolutely no idea on the most basic level what you're talking about. Christianity is the only religion of all religions, every single one of them, that says their founder is God. That's it. That's huge. That is an infinite difference between Christianity and every other single religion, every other moral standpoint, status, program, whatever you want to call it. Now, the question becomes for Christianity, is he? That's the big one, right? Well, you just got to believe. That's all. You just got to believe. We're back to this whole idea that it's just faith. Nonsense. We know Christ was a historical figure. We know that. Nobody would debate that. No historian with any kind of competence would debate that, unless he has some incredible agenda. We also know that Christianity exists. It's here. Look around you. There is such a thing called Christianity. There's such a thing called the Catholic Church. So it is real. Now the question becomes, how did it get here? Right? How did it happen? Now, we do know, again, that these guys claimed they saw this man who they preached of as God rose from the dead. Now, nobody rises from the dead. That doesn't happen. Okay? Oh, Dr. Ray, he could have been in a coma. He could have been in a coma. Well, the problem with that is they beat the snot out of him. They beat him so bad that he probably couldn't even move, even if he would have woken up. He had nails through his feet. Did you ever have a sprained ankle? You can't walk on a sprained ankle. Can you imagine what it would be like to have nails tear up your tendons, your bones, everything? You couldn't put any weight on them.
Yeah, he found his way to the apostles, and he said, look, I'm alive.
He's a beaten pulp.
We don't know he was beaten. That's what they said in the Gospels. We don't know that.
Well, they said also that their leader, the one that went on to have the most prominent place in the church, they said also that he swore an oath denying him. Now, man, what are you doing? Are you stupid? Don't put that in there. You're trying to start a new religion, and you figure that's the only way to overthrow the Roman government? And you're going to say, well, you know, our leader, when push came to shove, he collapsed. He just said, oh, I don't know the guy. Don't you understand this? I'm telling you. I swear I don't know the guy. Leave it out, okay? If you're trying to start a new religion and you know the guy didn't rise from the dead, leave it out. But you still got the problem. We have pretty good historical evidence. These guys all died. They were basically tortured to death, with the exception of Don. Now, I got a question. I read a lot of these spy novels, and they're based on some pretty good research. And one of the things they all say over and over and over and over again, everybody breaks under torture. Two things happen. You break or you die. It's that simple. You break or you die. We don't have any evidence anywhere that the apostles broke. Okay. Why? You know it's a lie? Save your life, man. Well, they thought he rose. It was the Easter resurrection experience. Huh? See, once again, if you look at the evidence, whether this guy was who he said he was, you're forced to say there is some evidence here to be considered. Reason, logic, and you don't need scripture to get you so far. But the people who say, well, you know, I just don't buy it. Or, yeah, you got to have faith. If you don't have faith, you're not going to believe it. Or, all religions are the same. These are all nonsense. I'm a shrink, man. When people say things, one of the first things I got to do is look at what they're really saying. When they say something like that, the first thing I'm thinking is you just don't want to look into this. For whatever the reason. Personally, you don't want to look into it. Why? Well, you don't want to give up your moral system. You don't want to have anybody tell you that you think you have to live a certain way. You don't want at all to accept that this is true. I had another monologue, but I'll save it. But it was an explanation as to why Holy Thursday, they had the Last Supper. And then on Friday, when our Lord was on the cross, John reports that the priests were slaughtering the lambs for the Passover meal that night. Wait a minute. What, you got two Passovers? You got the Synoptic Gospel Passover on Holy Thursday, and then John's saying that the Passover is coming up on the temple celebration. What? Oh, it's all confusing. But there is a very good explanation for it. I know some of you are saying, what is it? I can't. I got full phone lines here. But it's, let me put it this way. The explanation is absolutely brilliant because it attests to God's brilliance. People think it's really cool that this all happened. By the way, this is another piece of evidence. All this happened in conjunction with the Passover meal. What phenomenal timing. Jesus could have been killed any time. Why did this all come down exactly as the Passover celebration unfolded? Sometimes a miracle is in timing as opposed to the event. Well, I'm way, way past break. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray. So I'm 100% good. Anything I do by definition is good.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray.
Now, don't you feel better?
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system?
paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Tickets and showtimes available at BreakthroughMovie.com.
My producer man, Andrew Kruchek, noted that the show today would be my last day without pretzels. Yeah, I gave up junk food for Lent. But I define what junk food is. For example, I just ate this Belveeta soft-baked oats and chocolate. Would that be junk food? I mean, it's fiber. I don't know. I get to do the definition here, you know. And the other thing is, I found a loophole. My son Andrew visited him in Rhode Island, and he had a birthday. My wife got him a cake. Well, cake is junk food. Yeah, there's no way around that one, okay? But it would have been uncharitable not to celebrate my son's birthday. So I found a loophole. Eddie from Pennsylvania. How to get the most out of Holy Thursday? Well, you started, Eddie, I think, in a wonderful way. You listen to me.
Thank you.
You came out of the gate fast.
Yes.
Go ahead, Eddie. Frame your question.
Yes, well, I actually, Dr. Ray, it was more questions. You and I both being psychologists, you having your PhD, me having my sort of master's degree, but I've been to like six different universities and knocked out of the 60s, if you know what I mean. But, yes, our Lenten day is today, and Sunday is Easter, so what can we do to be closer to our Lord as psychologists?
As psychologists?
Yes.
I think as a psychologist, I had to learn, and this started in graduate school, I had to learn that so much that I was being taught as psychological gospel didn't really hold up, not according to research, not even according to human understanding as gathered by philosophers and theologians. I heard a story, a nice illustration of scientists climbing this big mountain of knowledge. And when they finally got to the top, trying to understand morality, trying to understand the human condition, they got to the top, and sitting up there were philosophers and theologians already up there. I think for me, I always have to sort out what I am told, what I'm exposed to in my profession, and how it dovetails with the truth and truth based on logic that I've come to believe in my faith. It's ongoing. That's why I wrote the Thinking Like Jesus book, because that was my personal struggle. That was my personal obsession with looking at the intersection between psychology and morality and theology and Christianity. Where do they compete? Where do they cooperate regarding love, regarding the self, regarding humility, regarding relations with other people, regarding prayer, all of that? So I think for me, Eddie, one of the things I'm going to do today is, we got Maundy Thursday Mass, 7 o'clock, so I'm heading there, no question. Get extra credit, you know, when you do a weekday Mass, get extra credit. Store them up. while I mowed the lawn today. I tried to pray the rosary, but I'm so distractible, it's terrible. I think I got in three good Hail Marys and half a Glory Be. But I'm trying to make myself pay a little more attention to God today than I normally do. I normally am all over the place. Short answer to a heavy question. You know? But I appreciate you calling, Eddie.
I love you. Sorry. Thanks, Dr. Ray. Remember John Lennon in Indiana?
Yeah, imagine there's no heaven. I want to say to John Lennon and all atheists everywhere, you can imagine it all you want. You better hope you're right. You can't just decide it. It's like C.S. Lewis says. C.S. Lewis says, if you deny the existence of a God on the basis of not much evidence, just on the basis of your opinion, and you're wrong, you have lived your whole life as a delusion.
An infinite hell is no joke.
Delusion. Yeah, hell should scare the hell out of you. It just should. Just should. All righty, where are we going here? Ooh, well, that's interesting. David from Daphne, Alabama, says, is there any research to show people without faith principles seem to lose their senses? What do you mean by that, David?
Well, what I mean to say is that, to me, it is entirely reasonable to have faith. And to have a faith worldview is to also engage your reason as you go about your daily walk of life. And I just wondered, had there been any research to suggest that people who don't have a worldview based on faith can in fact be very unreasonable? Are you aware of any such research?
I am aware of a whole bunch of research that says people of deep faith gain all kinds of benefits.
Okay.
In my Thinking Like, I don't mean to push this book, and I'm not asking you to buy it, but in the Thinking Like Jesus book, I had a chapter called The System Works. I asked a priest once,
okay,
what is the number one reason for you, the most evidence, that Christianity is true? He said, the system works. And by that, he meant the moral system. Example, okay. I'll give you just a small example. The people with the happiest physical love lives are those who are married committed, by far. The culture says no. The culture says freedom everywhere, however you want, you'll be happier. All the research says no. There was another wonderful piece of research I read that said elderly folks who are most content have a wide social circle. Now, the secular interpretation would be, well, of course, look at all these people that are going to pay attention to them and take care of them. And what they found was the exact opposite, that their wide social circle allowed them to serve more. They volunteered more. They were more charitable. They had deeper relations. So it went outward as opposed to toward them. Okay? Self-esteem, the self-esteem movement. Self-esteem is the preeminent moral virtue among secularists. Well, the research looking at self-esteem essentially says it's not related to anything. And as a matter of fact, there is evidence that self-esteem, if it is attempted to be bred in a child, independent of anything else, you're just a wonderful human being because you say so, tends to lead towards self-centeredness, self-absorption.
So it
does the exact opposite.
More a performance-based acquired virtue.
It is a virtue.
Correct?
Well, I would put it this way. I said the Christian has maximum self-esteem because the Christian says, I am valuable because the God of the universe says I am valuable, not because Ray Guarendi says Ray Guarendi is valuable. That's meaningless.
Right.
Who am I to declare my own worth? Which is what the self-esteem movement is. Okay?
Yeah.
But Christians, we believe we are of infinite worth because the God of the universe has declared it. Much different. Good stuff, David. You and I could talk for a long time. Blessed Easter. I'm Dr. Ray. I got a lot of calls up there, but we'll see what we can do. 877-573-7825. Yes, Jim, I'll take care of that for you.
you know that simple maintenance on your furnace can extend the life of it? Hi, I'm Ron Garmo from Running Right Heating and Cooling. Replacing a dirty filter can eliminate more than 50% of all house calls and save you money. With a simple service agreement, we can come out twice a year and clean and check your furnace and AC, which could prevent bigger problems. Call today at 248-884-1704 or go to Running Right Heating and Cooling on Facebook. We are working to keep your systems running right.
Old St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church in downtown Detroit in Greektown invite all to the Holy Week services scheduled for Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Saturday evening, Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday, April 18th through the 21st. All Mass times can be viewed at oldstmarysdetroit.com or by calling 313-961-8711. Old St. Mary's wishes all a holy and blessed Easter season.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church, our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Really, three reallys, kind of like a triple dog dare. Really, really, really good to be with you. This is a cake. Think about it. Right now, I'm eating some almond thing with diet, no pretzels. No, hey, I'm getting extra credit during Lent. And I got this drink. I get five breaks. I start a minute late and quit 4 minutes early. My grandfather would have looked at me like, well, I'm just kind of lazy. Lazy. He built stuff, you know? He built stuff. Okay, Jim from Ohio has a question, and I believe Jim's question is, it's an indication that it is very dangerous to attempt to try to understand Scripture on your own without the traditional church's teaching, interpretation, and history behind it. Because if you just go there and read it, yes, it could edify you and it can help you out a lot. But in terms of trying to understand it or to even create theology by it, man, you're going to get in all kinds of quagmires. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Okay, so you're perplexed about the idea that Jesus was killed on Friday and rose sometime after midnight on Sunday.
After, right. And it's less than 2 days. It says 3 days in the Bible. Why is that?
Yep. Well, let's say I commit a crime, and they put me in the county jail Friday night at 6 o'clock. The judge says, I got to serve 3 days. Well, Friday counted. Saturday counted, and I can get out Sunday morning. In the Jewish calculation, any part of a day was considered a day. So Friday was a day, Saturday was a day, and whatever early morning hours on Sunday was a day. That's how they reckoned time. Now, for us, we go, well, no, wait a minute. Now, come on. From Friday to Monday, Sunday, that was not even 48 hours. How are they getting 3 days out of that? Well, that's our way of doing it. But the Jewish way of doing it, and even now with the law, there is some of that remnant left.
So in fact, and furthermore, it said on the third day he will rise again. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, on the third day. Good question, Jim. And that's one that confuses a lot of people. But if you understand history, Jewish reckoning, and the way the church has always instructed us on that, you'll be just fine with it. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Let's see what we have. Maura from Kentucky. Her son was diagnosed with Tourette's, as was my son when he was very young. Diagnosed with Tourette's and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Now, that in and of itself would indicate there are certain kind of maybe mild brain condition going on. But then Maura says he has anger issues, which means he loses his temper when he doesn't get his way. That's what most parents mean when they say that. Hi, Maura.
Hello.
Well, does he throw a fit and get mad when he doesn't get his way?
He doesn't do it so much at home because we discipline him, but at school it's like I get, you know, notes from teachers. And
why don't you discipline him for what he did at school?
We do. But okay. See, he's been on medication for, they put him on 4 or 5 different medications, and it seems like it turns to the worst. It makes his tics worse. And it doesn't help, I don't know, with his ADHD. Or they say he can't focus at school. But when he comes home, yesterday, he came home, and I just sat and talked with him for a long time because it seems like disciplining doesn't work. As far as, you know, if we do physical or take something away. And he'll tell me he understands. And he'll tell me, yes, I shouldn't have done that. And I know it's a choice to get angry. And I shouldn't mistreat my teacher. But it's like he goes back to school. And it's like, it's mostly when he has to write or do homework or normal things that everybody has to do.
Hey, Maura, do you go to confession?
We do. We just try to go. We try to go over 2 weeks.
Okay, so when you go,
my kid does not have an iPhone.
When you go to confession, you probably don't have much to tell the priest, right?
No, I don't know. I have 5 kids, so
okay.
I
so you
do.
you pretty much tell them the same stuff.
Yeah.
Well, are you older than your son?
Yes.
Well, God, I don't get it. Why are you getting any better? You see what I'm saying here, Maura?
Well, no.
When you say discipline doesn't work, what you're saying is he's not improving like I want him to.
Yes.
Well, couldn't God say that about us? We're really not improving like he would like us to.
True.
And we're older, and we have self-control. I hear essentially 80% of the parents who walk in my office say discipline doesn't work. And, of course, they're wrong. But we have to find out why they're wrong. Most of the time, they're inconsistent. Most of the time, there are a lot of gaps in the way they're doing things. So what they think is discipline is really could be greatly strengthened. And three, they get impatient. Your son,
yes,
when he does something wrong and you discipline him, you taught him a lesson. He said it to you. He said, "Ma, I realize that's not right. Shouldn't be doing that." You taught him a lesson. Now, it worked. When you teach a lesson, discipline works. Does it change behavior? That's a different question. I suspect that what's happening is that, and again, you says here you're seeing a therapist, so I want to be real careful here. I don't, is the therapist seeing you?
Yeah, I mean, I go in with him the first
time. Right. Okay,
then
I'm not going to say anything then. Because you're seeing a therapist, and I don't want to take a chance on saying anything that might go counter.
No, I'm not. I'm not
I know. But the therapist's working with you a little bit in the beginning.
Well, she's more, maybe I shouldn't be down on him for every time he does something bad. Maybe we should reward him. But I told him yesterday, I said, I'm getting to the point where I'm going to throw the rewards out the window. You're just going to get a whooping because you're not listening. You're not paying attention to your anger cues. You're not, you know.
Most therapists will say that. Most therapists that I've seen, when a parent comes in with a difficult kid, The therapist will say, part of the reason he's difficult is because you're expecting too much. You're too hard on him. And what I've seen as a therapist is that, yes, you are too hard on him, but that's because your discipline is probably a little too loud, a little too emotional, a little too nagging. A little.
Do you know me?
I know the parents I see, dear. So I have a book that might help you. It's called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. Deals with all kinds of discipline issues. You get off my website. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the call. This is Dr. Ray. I'm not going to give out the number because I got a lot of folks there. I'm not telling you. Now, if you do know the number and you call in, well, you get extra credit. Greg Randy here. Thank you for joining me on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday. The TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray in its eighth season, and we've just begun the eighth season. Again, we're in our third episode now. So all new stuff. Those of you who are saying, I saw that one before, Ray, you're not getting any smarter. New stuff. excuse me. I'll see where we're at. Let's go to Isidore from Idaho. A question about repressed memories. Hi, Isidore.
Bobby Maria, peace be with you, Dr. A. Blessed
Thank
Holy
you.
Thursday to you.
Thanks, you. Appreciate it.
I am calling on behalf of the... You were talking about repressed memories, I think it was last week. And this kind of made me strike the question. So, to give you the short story... is my father was abusive to me as a child because of alcohol, and he then left, and because of that, I then was doing the things that he was doing, swearing, physically beating my mom at 4 years old. I had to go to therapy for 4 years to get implemented back into the world. During that time, I had told my mom some of the things that I thought had happened, physical abuse, that, and later on I thought, well, maybe these were just lies that I created to make her not want to get back together with my father. So I'm just kind of wondering, as I get older, am I going to have a memory come up? Do I have memories in there that are going to come up later or are just never going to come up? I just wanted to hear your thoughts on all of this.
Repressed memories are very shaky. They are not generally reliable. All right. There for a while, 20, 25 years ago, they made a big splash on the scene. And they even made a splash on the scene again with the Kavanaugh hearings. When the, what was her name, Blasey Ford said... Oh, I remembered in therapy that this is what happened. Okay. Now, I was kind of shocked. Well, no, I wasn't shocked because nobody really questioned the repressed memories. They just simply said, well, we got to believe this. Your repressed memories were around physical abuse, not sexual?
Well, I had remembered telling my mom something that was somewhat sexual abuse of my father touching me and then also like doing a baseball that and hitting me with it. Again, these are some things that were just radical that I could have been making up at 7 years old that I'm thinking. And I explained to my mom that about a year ago that I did this, and then she said to me, oh, no, those probably did happen. Your father was pretty crazy. But at the same time, he was a lawyer in his right mind in some cases. So I'm just kind of wondering, was I making those things up in order to keep my mom safe? Or were those things actually happening that I have no memory of because of I would black out or something for whatever the reason?
I have no idea. But I will say this as a general principle, Isidore. Let us say that you have indication that your father was a rough guy. All right? That he was maybe out of temper. He hurt you, your mom. And you remember some of these things, you think, from those days. Your mother confirms it. She says, yeah, he was like that. Okay. If you say, well, I don't know if I was making it up. I don't know if it actually happened. I don't know if I'm embellishing it. I don't know if I had other motives. I don't get it. It's all just a hodgepodge, confusing picture. Okay. So, at this point in your life, how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
Okay. At this point, for you, for your peace, do you need to know the answer to that?
Well, I guess not. My main thing is I don't want to, I guess it's that minor fear of worrying about these random memories coming up that I have no memory of. Because I have no bad memories of my father or my mother fighting whatsoever. I have really no memories before the age of six, except some good memories of my father and of Canada and stuff. And that's about it. So I'm just kind of wondering, am I going to have
those?
I have that minor fear that's going to come up, because I have a great faith and everything like that. I'm just worried about the cross that may come up in the future.
No. Shouldn't be a fear. Shouldn't be a fear. If you say to yourself, I don't know. Okay. Then you say, well, I have no evidence. I have no solid memories of any of that. And it's probably just stuff that pops up in my head. And I'm going to ignore it.
Okay.
Because go ahead.
Okay. So even me having no memories whatsoever, doesn't mean that something's going to pop up eventually.
No,
it could be in the past, and it's just going to stay that way, and it's just going to continue on. I guess that minor fear was maybe this repressive memory is going to come back, and I don't know.
Do you know what you're doing? Here's what you're doing. You're saying, because I don't have any memories, I could have memories. That's really what you're saying.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah, my friend, that makes no sense. Okay? I would say this. Your memories of your father that you have were good ones. And your memories of your mom and dad and their relationship wasn't all that chaotic. Okay, so live with that. And if anything pops into your head and goes, well, I wonder, you know, oh, wait a minute, I saw something on TV that this kid experienced this, and, you know, I'm wondering, maybe I did too. Keep in mind that it's easy to concoct stuff. And if you say to yourself, I have no idea whether any of that stuff happened, so I'm going to err on the safe side and not, quote-unquote, detract from my father in my head when I don't know any of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the safe thing. You're thinking yourself into a fear that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I do like what you said.
It's pretty much the fear of the unknown, right, of something.
Nah.
And I guess the fear came when one of the callers was saying that they were talking about their repressive memories that came out when they were at the age of 25. And I was just thinking, in 4 years, am I going to have a random repressive memory come up that I'm going to have to deal with?
First of all, wait. You got no reason to have repressed memories. You're saying everything I remember was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're thinking yourself into a state of upset for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
No reason.
Yeah.
Just anything that comes up, you say,
I guess the reason is that I want to have some memory of my father, and I don't have really any.
Well,
and so I guess I'd rather have bad memories than no memories.
You got good memories. You said you had good memories. You had good memories. Okay. So, Dr. Ray, I got to take a break. I'm way past.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Easter approaches, and with it, the season of sacraments. Our Lady of Grace bookstore has an extensive selection of medals, crucifixes, missals, and other First Communion and Confirmation gifts for friends and relatives entering the church at Easter to help remind them of their new life in Christ. And for the young ones in your life, consider adding a religious book to this year's Easter basket. We're located in Ann Arbor at US 23 and M14 inside Domino's Farms Office Park at Lobby C. Visit us at OurLadyOfGraceBookstore.com or Facebook for hours and directions. On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Holy Thursday is our chance to commemorate the first Mass. Abbot Jeremy Driscoll joins us for an in-depth look at what happens at Mass with a focus on the liturgy of the Eucharist. We're preparing, of course, to commemorate the Last Supper and Christ's sacrifice for us. We'll also share Father Benedict Rochelle's meditations on Holy Thursday.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Dr. Rager, Andy here. Thank you. You being there. Now, I always like to take really easy questions, because easy questions really make me sound smart. It's very straightforward, very simple. It's a question that pretty much everybody could answer. It's been answered quite fully by pretty much all theologians, scripture scholars, teachers of the faith for centuries. And it's really easy. So Zaina from Massachusetts says, I got to explain the Holy Trinity to my kid, Dr. Ray. Sure, Zaina. That's an easy one. Oh, my gosh. What are you talking about?
I had five kids in my car yesterday, and they're asking me, they always ask me religious questions. They're beautiful. I couldn't get them to understand, because I don't really...
And I don't either.
Understand completely. And I'm educated enough to tell them.
I don't either.
But you explain the shroud so beautifully. You explain all these things so beautifully.
Yeah, but the Trinity is a major mystery of our faith. We accept it on revelation. We accept it on faith. There's been attempts to explain it to little kids, like, you know, did you ever see a three-leaf clover? Well, there's three leaves in one plant. Or water. Water has three phases. Water has gas, liquid, and solid, but it's still water. You could try those, but I would just simply say, I'd say something like this.
Okay.
I would say, well, God has told us. I know there's four states of water. One of them's plasma. I know that, but I just didn't get into it, okay? I know they're correcting me here on the screen. God has told us that there is a Father, and He has told us that Jesus is God, too. And He's also told us that the Holy Spirit is God. Now, we don't quite know how that works, but we do believe God, because He told us this.
Yes.
And all three of those persons are in one being.
Okay, now can I ask you a question? My niece said to me, she's 11, she said...
I'm going to give you 1 minute, honey, because I got 3 minutes here before I leave to wish people a blessed Easter.
I'm so sorry. Okay, so when Jesus was praying, did he pray to himself? And I said, no, he was praying to the Father, and she couldn't grasp it.
Okay. You told her he was praying to the Father.
Is that okay? It's okay to...
Wait a minute. As part of our faith is, you know, there's some things that we have to go beyond reason on. A few things, I say, he was praying to the Father. Well, if he's God, he doesn't have to pray to the Father. No, he was praying to his Father, who is also God as he was God. And that's probably where I'd leave it. I wouldn't sit there trying to make a 9-year-old or a 6-year-old understand this, that they're going to go, thanks, Aunt Zaina. That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
All right. Got to go, dear. Thank you. Blessed Easter. All you I didn't get to, please forgive me. The event on Easter is the most reality-shattering event in human history. If it happened It is everything. Nothing is even close to it. If it happens, it is all of existence. If it didn't happen, then there's a pretty good chance that you will die, and you will be dead, and you will not know that it didn't happen because you're dead. But we have plenty of evidence to indicate that it did happen, exactly as they said it did. And so, this Easter, ponder how this event should change everything in your life. Change how you look at people, how you love people, should change how you think, should change the money you give to charity. It should change what you pursue. Why? Because it's everything. And you got to keep reminding yourself of that. You don't remind yourself of that, it just slips. It fades away. Oh, I come home from Easter Vigil and I'm just feeling so holy and I'm feeling so good and I just am connected with God. Isn't this wonderful? And Monday afternoon, I'm right back into my old pursuit of the now. You got to keep telling yourself this is the central event of all of human history. But Dr. A, there's a lot of people, perhaps the majority of the world doesn't even know about it. I don't understand that myself. I don't understand why God did it that way. But that's why he's God, and I ain't. And I always think about when the apostles went out to preach. Talk about a minority. Talk about a handful of people that only knew 0.00001% of the population knew. Well, if God could do it that way then, the fact that the bulk of the world right now doesn't know isn't all that shocking, is it? I have to keep telling myself over and over and over again, this resurrection from the dead that we believe happened, not just because of faith, but because of a good dose of reason, is everything. It dwarfs all other things that I pursue, all other things that I think matter. It dwarfs them. Yeah, a lot of them are important, of course. But comparatively, the distance between their importance and the importance of that Easter resurrection, the gap is absolutely infinite. Blessed Easter to all of you. I hope you grow closer to our Lord during it. I thank you for allowing me to be here with you this Holy Thursday. Maundy Thursday comes from Mandatum Novum, a new commandment I give you. Walk with God always. Hold your kids tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.